assignment this evening. I have Joseph and Potiphar's wife, and this is found in Genesis chapter 39. I'm sure everyone is familiar with the story of Joseph, the coat of many colors, the envy and the hatred of his brothers, and being sold into slavery in Egypt. The story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife from the text has some obvious lessons about faithfulness in the encounter of sexual temptation. There are also other points to be found about the royal character of God. The story is dramatic. Joseph is in Egypt, where he is Potiphar's servant and the most trusted overseer in his household. We're going to take chapter 39 and go verse by verse. So at this time, we'll go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Beginning in chapter 39, verse 1. There it says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there." Something that I found unusual in studying this is this Hebrew word, officer, may be translated eunuch. It was a common practice in ancient times, it says, to make those highest in the royal court eunuchs, so to ensure they would be wholly devoted to their king. Because this practice was common, the term came to be used for all who served in an important position in the king's court, whether they were actually eunuchs or not. So we really don't know if Potiphar was a eunuch or if he wasn't a eunuch. In verse 2 it says, "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, an Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand." You know, often we complain to God when we find ourselves in difficult situations or in a difficult place. And sometimes we think to ourselves, "Why me, Lord?" And yet God's will is that we trust Him to bless us and make us successful as He measures success wherever we are and whatever situation we find ourselves in. By his trusting God, diligent work, and the blessing from God, Joseph shows Potiphar that God was real. People should see the difference Jesus makes in our lives by the way we work. God blesses Potiphar for Joseph's sake. In verse 4 it says, "So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate." Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Because of God's blessing and Joseph's faithfulness, God made sure Joseph moved forward in his position, even as a slave. Clearly, Joseph rose to the top, but it took a while to happen. Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery, according to Genesis 37 and verse 2. He was 30 when Pharaoh promoted him in Genesis 41 and verse 46. And he had been in prison for 2 years before that, according to Genesis 41 and verse 1. So he was in Potiphar's house for 11 years. It took 11 years for the full measure of God's blessing to be accomplished in Joseph's life. I want you to consider this. When he came to Egypt, he knew nothing of the language, nothing of the culture, the customs, or the way of doing business. He had to get up early and stay up late to both do his job and to learn the Egyptian ways. Joseph's appearance is very important. The Bible only speaks of two other men as being good looking. David in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 12. There it says, so he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. He also said this of Absalom in 2 Samuel 14 and verse 25. He said, now in all Israel there was no one who was praised as much as Absalom for his good looks. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. So these three people, or these three men, are the only men that have been spoken of in the Bible as being good looking. In verse 7 it says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was, as she spoke to Joseph that day by day, that he did not heed her, to lie with her or to be with her. Potiphar's wife was undeniably forward towards Joseph. Joseph was an attractive man, and this had something to do with it. Possibly, this was a challenge for Potiphar's wife. One reference said that in the ancient world, the code of morality for Egyptian women, even married women, was very loose. Egyptian women had a reputation of immorality in the ancient world. Potiphar's wife asking Joseph to lie with her was a bold and strong temptation to Joseph. This is a reminder that when we face a strong temptation ourselves, that others have faced the same. Satan wants us to think that our temptations are unique, that no one could understand what we face or what we are going through. But the Bible tells us, as Brother Wayne pointed out this morning in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. She spoke to Joseph day by day. Joseph showed incredible faithfulness towards God, towards Potiphar, and towards himself by resisting this temptation for so long, maybe even as long as 11 years. These are some of the things that we learned from Joseph. Joseph let his faith be known. He was blessed because of his relationship with God. He had talked about God for this to be the case. Joseph kept busy. You don't get ahead the way Joseph did unless you're a busy worker. Joseph was careful never to be alone with his temptation. Joseph called the act what it was. It was a sin. He referred to the temptation that was set before him as this great wickedness and sin before God. Today, sin is called by another name. Hostility and temper are self-expressions. Pride is self-esteem. Covetousness is trying to get ahead. Perversion is an alternative lifestyle. And adultery is a cry for help in a bad marriage. Joseph knew how greatly his sin would affect others. Joseph never gave in to the idea that he could do this and never be discovered, or somehow it just wouldn't matter. Joseph knew that his sin was a sin against God. We might justify sinning against another who has done something wrong to us, but how can we sin against God? Every sin is a sin against God, for it is God who has commanded that we not sin. King David reflects this same heart in his prayer of repentance in Psalms 51 in verse 4. There it says, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." Joseph just said no. And sometimes it just comes down to that. We have to refuse and say no to sin, even when we feel like saying yes. Obedience is much easier when we know who God is. Spurgeon said this, "When I regarded God as a tyrant, I thought sin a trifle. But when I knew him to be my father, then I mourned that I could never have kicked against him. When I thought that God was hard, I found it easy to sin. But when I found God so kind, so good, so overflowing with compassion, I smote upon my breast to think that I could ever have rebelled against one who loved me so and sought my good." In verse 11 it says, "But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand, and he fled and ran outside." Potiphar's wife knew that Joseph was avoiding her, so she made a deliberate plan to trap him. She made certain that none of the men of the house was inside. Joseph resisted this tremendous moment of temptation when he ran outside. Joseph did what we all are supposed to do when we face with this kind of situation. He fled and he ran. And in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, there it says, "Flee also, youthful lust." If we are not actually running towards sin, we tend at least to linger in its presence. But we're commanded to do only the safe thing. Run away from these lusts of the flesh and run as fast as we can. The King James Version says in Genesis 39 and verse 12, "He left the garment in her hand and fled and got him out." Joseph got him out. No one else was going to get him out. God provides a way of escape, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, but we must take the way out. Verse 13 says, "And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, See, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me, and he fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until the master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and he fled outside." You know, it must have offended and grieved Joseph to be accused under such an outrageous lie. And yet, he didn't defend himself. He didn't defend himself against this false accusation, and even as Jesus was silent before his accusers. You know, we read in Isaiah 53 and verse 7 concerning Jesus, it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. And also in Matthew 27, verse 13 and verse 14, it says, then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him not one word, that the governor marveled greatly. I can tell you, in Joseph's position, immediately I would start pointing the finger and saying, wait a minute, and give my side of the story. But Joseph said nothing. Verse 19 says, so it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. And then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. So it seems that Joseph was given a sentence of life in prison. This was a hard penalty, but the normal punishment for such a crime, which would have been attempted rape, and especially by a slave upon a high official's wife, the penalty would have likely been death. Joseph was given a merciful sentence. Potiphar went easy on Joseph, and possibly because he suspected his wife's role in the matter. The anger aroused him. It may not have been directed completely toward Joseph, though. It could have been against the wife for manipulating him into a situation where, to save face, he had to dismiss the man who made the whole house run so well. One reference said death was the only penalty Joseph could reasonably expect. His reprieve, presumably, owed much to the respect he had won, and Potiphar's mingled wrath and resistance may reflect a faint misgiving about the full accuracy of the charge made against Joseph. In verse 21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. If God blessed Joseph in the pit, if God blessed Joseph when he was a slave, we're not surprised to see him bless Joseph when he's in prison. None of these circumstances disrupted God's plans for Joseph's life. Joseph lived his life according to God's plan. The question, what about us? Are we living our life according to God's plan? Or do we mumble and complain? Say, why me, Lord? What did I ever do to deserve this? In closing, Brother Paul said this morning, temptation is when you lose. Trials and tests are when you win. Joseph's temptation was a trial and a test, and Joseph overcame. The important point is Joseph succeeded because of the blessing of God. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had. Even after Joseph is falsely accused and thrown into prison, God still blesses him. Adam Clark said, "It is but of little consequences where the lot of a servant of God may be cast. Like Joseph, he is ever employed for his master, and God honors him and prospers his work." Joseph rose to the top in the house of Potiphar. He became the chief administrator of the prison. Through his experience in both places, God sharpened the administrative skills Joseph needed to one day save his family and save the whole world. A very unusual story. We never know what God's plan really is for us. We just pray that we are doing according to God's will and that we fit into his plan of our life. If there's anyone that is subject to the gospel call, we bid you come while we stand and sing.